Hi, welcome to the Soaked by Slush podcast. My name is Isaac Rautio, and next to me is William von der Palen. We are the guys from FutureCast. We were asked to do the first ever Soaked by Slush podcast. And you might be wondering, what is Soaked by Slush? It's a new startup media by Slush. It's always free, never boring, surprising at times. All about hyper-concrete stories on building companies, fresh takes on European tech, and data-driven observations about the world around us. So this podcast is all that and more. All the guests that we have are speakers and guests from Slush, world-class guests for a reason. So you're going to be wanting to hear these episodes, even the ones you aren't initially interested in. Go outside of your comfort zone and check them out, because every single one of these were interesting for us. So without any further ado, hope you enjoy the episodes. Thank you. Hello, dear listeners, also on YouTube, but also on the podcast platform, whatever podcast platform you're listening to. My name is Isaac Rautio. This is the Soaked by Slush podcast. Next to me is sitting William van der Palen, as always. Nice to see you again.
Nice to be here. I finally have a voice again. Almost. So it's good to be here.
No, it sounds good now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a struggle this morning, but now it's better. That's right. So who do we have as our guest?
We have Karel Holm from MeetFrank. Welcome. Great to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for coming.
Really funny story about this podcast. Like, we were supposed to meet at 3, and then you ended up doing another podcast unwittingly, and they were like, yeah, sure, you could do this podcast.
Yeah, so, but, like, kudos to me. It was like a double visibility. So yeah. I don't know where the other podcast is going to end up, but... like, it's a fun story to tell about Slush.
That's fun, yeah. And if your Twitter followers explode suddenly, maybe it's because of either one of those. So, like, it can't hurt to put yourself out there.
Yeah, fingers crossed, let's hope.
Yeah. Have you been to Slush many times before?
I think this is my third or fourth time. I think third one. So, but Slush is always on the kind of top of the go-to list. And Slush has had, like, a massive impact on the business or on the startup that we're actually building.
Do you want to open up? It's called MeetFrank.
It's called MeetFrank.
Yeah.
And it's a secret recruitment app. Exciting, right? So, but more or less, it's that kind of safe space for you to be available on the job market on your own terms. So what we try to deliver you offers or actually messages from companies who are interested to hire you, and we can kind of predict what is the kind of likelihood that you will succeed. But the idea is to provide you overview of the market. To boost your kind of self-confidence so that in any given point of time, you know what your options are. How is the market going up? Is the market going down? So that you shouldn't never be afraid what comes next in your life. So this is the kind of basics of the business that we're doing. And we actually launched that Slush 2 years ago.
Okay.
And together with Slush, so we had this kind of really cool tunnel. And by then we had like 4,000 or 5,000 users. Today we have over 250,000 just 2 years later. So, but Slush gave us like a massive impact, or it acted like a springboard to actually get us into the kind of international scene.
So it's a recruitment app basically, and so but it differs from sort of normal recruitment in like, so what are the sort of general points that you have or don't have, like in contrast to normal job searching?
Okay, let's start from the really beginning. So yeah. First of all, like, we're a consumer driven app. So we actually believe that our main customers are the app users. So we not the kind of B2B customer who needs to find someone. Secondly, we're a kind of funny product because we don't necessarily push you or want you to apply for new positions. We want to kind of create the environment for you to kind of be part of the kind of job market ecosystem, and we think that is more than enough. But it's a kind of consumer-led experience that mostly differentiates us. And so far it has kind of proven it's quite successful.
Yeah, and you mentioned this secret element to it, so could you tell us a bit more about that?
So you can build up your profile in about kind of 3 minutes, but during the build-up we don't ask who you are. We just care about what you do and what you want to do next. So on the kind of initial phase when you start receiving messages from companies, they don't know who you are and even we don't know who you are. So the idea is to kind of keep you kind of off the radar as long as possible, so that you're free to make up your own decisions when the time is right. Our job is to kind of make sure that you have all the relevant information to make those decisions.
But will it then be revealed if a company is interested in a candidate? Will there be more info, or is this kind of to eliminate also bias against, you know, gender or any kind of other, you know, hidden biases or really, you know, obvious biases we have in the recruitment process?
So bias is a tricky thing. So if you come to our platform as a company, we don't allow you to target anyone based on gender, age, race, and so on. So you can only target based on the previous experience. But at some point, you need to reveal yourself. So when you actually decide that, hey, this opportunity, or actually this company, because we focus companies on a lot more than we focus on the positions, especially because positions in most cases are kind of fairly similar. Company or the culture is the actual thing that makes them unique. Then if you're interested, then at some point you need to reveal yourself. And that kind of person-based bias in the decision phase is something that it's really hard for us to change. So it might happen from time to time.
Yeah, but it must put some employers with these inherent biases in a tricky place, where they sort of have to stare their own biases in the face, like when the person is finally revealed to them, and then have to admit to themselves, like, okay, I mean, I like them so far, but now this sort of bias that I had in the back of my head is pushing through. And have you noticed, are employers behaving differently through the use of this app?
We sure hope so.
Yeah,
that the kind of wider the pool and the more kind of options you have, the more successful you are. So, like a lot of companies are, a lot of kind of HR solutions are building their solutions based on exclusion. So let's try to kind of exclude as many people who we believe aren't the perfect fit. We believe that the only way to be successful in recruitment is actually openness. So on the first go, you need to expand and create as large and diverse pool as possible, and that's the only way to succeed in the long run.
If you look at the business side, you said you've grown in 2 years to over 250,000 users. What have been some of the most crucial things you've gotten right?
So the first thing, of course, is the team. So they are the ones who actually kind of built the business, and they are the ones who execute. So team is one of the things that we have gotten right, and we have team members from 9 different countries, I believe. Secondly is probably the way we are seeing the market. So that consumer comes first, or the talent comes first. So building a product that helps you as an individual to achieve your goals, not the other side, not the B2B side to achieve your goals. And this might kind of a little bit seem arbitrary, but I don't know, if you compare it with Wolt, for example, then Wolt, in my mind, one of the reasons why Wolt is successful is that it focuses on helping you to order food fast, not how a company can sell more food. And by enabling consumers to achieve their goals, they have massively increased the volume on the market. And we're seeing similar trends. Like by enabling or empowering our users to find new companies more easily and connect with them more easily, we're seeing that the application volumes in the market are just kind of exponentially increasing.
How are you seeing, sort of on a macro level, the future of the job market? It's changed. I mean, it's a hot topic these days with the different forces affecting it, and people are, I mean, speculating it's going to change even within the next 5 years, but not to mention the 10, 15, 20 years. And this is very relevant probably to you, not just only because of business, but is it just an area of interest to you in general? What's your take on it?
It's an extremely interesting topic. Yeah. Everything is gonna change, and it's gonna change quite heavily.
Yeah.
So, if you look at the companies, or especially the startups, most of the startups are competing on an international level, but still are kind of talent sourcing from both sides. Like talent sourcing and job sourcing is fairly limited to your local ecosystem, but this is going to change. So you're not going to compete only on the kind of local level, but you need to start competing on the global level. And this applies for the both sides. People are much more willing to relocate, especially if the challenge is right. But more importantly, a large proportion of the workforce will start to work remotely, because like you're able to find people who share the same kind of values and the same kind of mission that you do, and the technological advancement will allow you to work like anywhere. So like we are using Slack today for all of our communications and to kind of connect all the three offices that we have, but probably 5 years time we're going to have something much more efficient. So as today you mostly source from Helsinki, in 5 years time you're going to source Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that more and more people in the future also will have to work? Because seeing how the market might change with AI solutions, or just, you know, as you said, it's going to be massive changes happening. Do you think that more and more people in the future also will have to work for many companies at once, kind of become, if not entrepreneurs in the traditional meaning of the word, become still, you know, contractors and work as light entrepreneurs via some kind of billing services? Or do you think there will be like room for people to work for only one company?
Yeah, definitely. People hopefully will still work for one company at a time. But the kind of percentage of freelancers will probably grow. So like if you look at the kind of even the kind of evolution of technology, so we are at the point at the moment where like vast majority is using the technology. The next step, logical step, is that a lot of people will start grading the technology, because you probably don't need any coding skills or that kind of deep level coding skills in 5 years time, so that you can actually move from being the consumer to actually the grader, so that where you can use the technological advancement to start providing new services on the market. And there's actually one really cool company from Finland called AppGyver. And the kind of product release that they did a week ago, at least on the first glance, seems to be like a really, really big game changer, making building products accessible for everyone. And these kind of things will change the landscape massively.
How do you think? I remember one thing. I'm going to harken back to one thing you said earlier in this podcast in the beginning. Your Meet Frank isn't all about applying to jobs. It's about sort of feeling out the job market in a sense. What's the purpose of that? I think the purpose, there are probably from the employer side and the employee side, there must be different dynamics affecting.
Okay, so I'm gonna do an example.
Yeah,
so
please.
Imagine a real estate. So you have an apartment. So the job market at the moment is works in a way that if you want to know how much your apartment is worth, you need to list it and actively go into selling it. This is not something you want to do. You actually get it appraised. And there's a lot of services who offer your real-time data, kind of showing what's your kind of real estate worth. We're a little bit trying to do the same thing with jobs. So like at any given point of time, you need to have some kind of data points or comparison points to actually, first of all, make decision, are you happy or not? Is this the right place? What are other companies doing? What are the other challenges? And in the end, we see this as not as that kind of classified game or something like that. We see this as content and consumption. So like people make extremely important life decisions when opportunity arises. But in most cases, the opportunity never arises because you just don't kind of consume the opportunities around you. So you get kind of stuck in your own tunnel. So we try to bring all the things closer to you and also provide the kind of relevant context around it. So, and at some point you might actually find something really cool that you believe is a next step in your life.
And it sounds like one thing employers might start thinking is that they can't mess around anymore. Like if they know that this is around and their employees are constantly aware of different options. I mean, it's easy to sort of draw a parallel to normal human relationships even, or just like monogamous relationships where like people really like if you're not a good husband, if you're not a good wife, who knows what's going to happen? And do you think this does make sense basically?
This is like 100% true.
Yeah.
So like you're not kind of if you start thinking about it in more depth, you spend 8-10 hours a day at your office, and it actually makes sense that if the environment isn't a good fit for you, it actually makes a lot of sense to move. And it's also for the companies to work on to make sure that people in their office are happy, they are productive, but sometimes relationships just end. You just kind of outgrow yourself. Like if you look at the kind of average, if you look at the speed of growth of the startup, then the startup grows really quickly, the people inside grow really quickly. And soon enough, we might find in a situation where the kind of aspirations or the skill set of the employee is much bigger than the position that you can offer to him, and then it actually makes sense to let them go.
Yeah. If you're talking about your company again a bit more, where do you see yourself going? Do you have a sort of an end game? You started out 2 years ago. It's probably grown a bit, maybe faster than you expected, or then you were really ambitious when you started it. But either way, it's where are you going with the company?
Well, we go big or we go home.
Yeah,
is the honest answer. But we hope to show the same growth or accelerate the growth. So yesterday we announced the new global talent mobility feature. So where we are able to offer the same services, but now deliver you offers all around Europe. Not any offers, but offers that actually match your aspirations. So if you want to work in a unicorn, we will start delivering all the unicorn offers that we can actually find. But we hope to be this kind of global talent mobility tool, and be the kind of dominant player or go-to guy in the next kind of 2 to 5 years, more 2 than 5. But we'll see.
Nice. Where are you active now? What countries?
So we started out from Estonia, then Finland, all the Baltics, Germany, and now all around Europe. So with the yesterday's release.
And do you have the most users in Estonia, or where are they like distributed?
I think Finland is the first.
Yeah.
Kind of user-wise so far.
Yeah.
Do you hear any? You probably do. Do you hear any personal stories from people who've started to use this and how it's sort of changed maybe their work life or the dynamics within it? What are some some anecdotes that you have?
I don't know any funny stories.
No, you don't have to be funny. No, it's something. It's been very interesting so far.
But we get a lot of feedback from people that it has kind of opened their eyes, but more importantly, yeah, that they have kind of discovered a company series of companies that actually kind of share the same mission statement that they do in their personal life. So the problem mostly is that we are extremely brand biased. And if you look at the average kind of job opening, there's really limited amount of information about the company. It's like, yeah, we're looking for a content writer who writes content. And you can see like hundreds of really similar job postings. Now, like providing context, this also helps us to kind of introduce new companies to the market. And there's like a lot of companies. So we have had kind of positive feedback. We have had feedback from people who are like, yeah, thanks to you, I got like a better sense of the market, and I went and talked with my current employer and my situation improved. But we also have some sort of kind of negative feedback, like, hey, like my employee asked for a higher salary or left, and some companies are like extremely pissed.
Yeah, like it's obviously everything is a plus and minus, but like has there been like occurrences of lack of trust or do you see this as a potential issue in a way, like this kind of paranoia between employers and employees that could happen at some point?
To some extent, but they are more or less kind of isolated cases.
Yeah.
So like by the end of the day, people work with people, and company representatives are people as well. So this kind of one-on-one relationships might not always work out, but we cannot say that this is like a general trend.
Yeah.
So companies actually like value their employees really, really highly.
And what's your business model like? You said you go users first. Is it is the service free for users, and then companies pay to post ads ads there, or to recruit, or what does it look like?
So it's free for users. It has always been and always will. And companies are the ones who pay. Yeah. And they pay based on the leads that we deliver.
Okay.
So we distribute their message with the right target audience, allow them to pitch their company in a sense. And if the candidates are interested, then they pay per lead. So they pay based on the value that we actually generate.
I do like that idea though, because it's right now job searching, at least for me. I mean, whenever I've been doing it, it's like an endeavor you do, and it's like something you really take time to do. And usually you encounter these like honestly just bullshit job titles. I have no idea what they mean. Just like you just mentioned, content writer, but even that's a relatively simple one. But like you never really know. And it's as I said, this endeavor you just do, and it's. It's not this thing you can't really just constantly, or no one really wants to constantly monitor the job market because it's so difficult and it's not made easy. So yeah, it makes. And you also said to boost your confidence in a way, make yourself realize. And the best way to boost your confidence is to sort of improve your information, and sort of get the feedback from the job market. And
yep. So that's the point of it. So how can you make decisions if you don't know where do you actually stand? AI helps you now a little bit to kind of make your life easier in the job search, and we kind of improve the algorithms on a daily basis. So I think we believe it's cool. A lot of people think it's cool. I'm super happy that you think it's cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it's needed, and so it was about time.
So like there's like a tons of really, really cool startups in Slush, and there's you hear about them talking on the stage, and they're solving actually kind of really, really serious problems that we have in the world. But on the other hand, we also need to think about the kind of smaller things that actually have a high impact on our day-to-day life, and for the vast majority. And one of them is making sure that you're actually happy in your career as well, like where we spend so much time. And we believe this is actually extremely important, not to forget the little things as well.
Yeah. How do you see Slush or the European startup scene in general? Lisa? It's like you mentioned, like the problem doesn't have to be big to make sense to solve. But on the other hand, do you see like is there a lot of sort of empty space in between? Like do you see good minds working with? And you don't have to specifically throw anyone under the bus. That's not what I'm asking. But like, do you see good minds working with stuff that kind of wasting their talent in a way?
I don't think they're wasting their time.
Yeah.
I think like they do this thing, and as long as they have like high level of passion and enthusiasm, then the time is well spent. But sometimes it's really small things that make the world of difference, and kind of recognizing them is kind of art itself as well.
Yeah, that's true. It is like because this problem, who would have? I mean, there are obviously job searching. It's a large part of everyone's life eventually, but it's true. Yeah, a small problem. It's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, and I actually don't think it's a small problem. I think it's quite. I know what you mean. If you can solve climate change, or you can do a recruitment app, you shouldn't compare them as well.
Right.
I mean, you can have a massive output impact if you have more people who are happy.
Or exactly.
You can also the right people find the climate change company, so it can like you are helping the companies who help the world. That can have, you know, an enormous impact. As I said.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So how's Slush been?
Super busy. Super interesting.
Yeah.
The same really high quality as always. So Slush is always kind of top of the list. Like I think it's the best conference. Like you have really quality content. More importantly, all the right people are here. Slush kind of ticks every box that you can tick. Plus the kind of evening socializing.
Yes, looking forward to that tonight.
Of course.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Any last, like what's next for you and Meet Frank?
So
that's a final question.
What's next is we try to change the world one job at a time, and the next year is all about growth. So to kind of include more people into the ecosystem, include more companies into the ecosystem, try to deliver more quality offers, more quality matches, and see where does it take us. But always to keep the kind of end consumer in mind. So it has been an exciting journey. We have learned a lot about the market, about ourselves, and hopefully the next year will be as good as the last one.
Great, good luck.
Good
Thank
luck.
You.
Thank you, Conor.
Thanks for joining. Thanks. Thank you.
And YouTube watchers, let me see if I can do this outro now. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. Thank you for listening. And
Brilliant.
Thanks for the podcasters.
Thank you.
Podcast listeners, not podcast. Also podcasters. I love podcasts. Bye-bye.